You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Yes, good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up, me included, because I didn't sleep too well last night, so I stayed up a little bit watching Bonanza back to bed, and just was very restless last night. So, but, you know, the Word tells us that we're to cast our cares upon Him, for He careth for thee. So He cares for you. Are you casting your cares upon Him? Because He cares for you. Well, I've been in touch with the attorney again. Every time I call him, it's... I really sincerely mean this. I want to change the name to the little ministry that the Lord's given me, from Tom Jones Ministries. I don't want my name anymore to be represented. And, you know, I have my reasons, but I think it should be something I love doing. And so I've been in contact many times with him over the last month and narrowed it down to these two. So whether I could have them or not, I think there's a ministry out in California that has the one encouraging word. But he's going to look that up again, and encouraging one another. So I pray that I'll be able to change it. I'm not trying to glorify when Tom comes here. You know, I'm not trying to glorify Tom in any way. I'm not trying to make a name, because there's only one name that needs to be known, and you know what name that is. It's Jesus. I heard Billy Graham once say, when I was in Hawaii, they came to Hawaii, and I heard him. He was at a – I didn't get to go attend the meeting because it was packed. But I did hear it on the radio, and he made a comment that he said, if my name is mentioned one time, it's mentioned one time too many. And so I just want to change the name. I'm just led in my heart to change the name to something I love doing, and that's encouraging God's people. I had an opportunity this past week to encourage a brother in Christ that's going through a difficult time, and no matter what we're going through, just, you know, I'm encouraging all of you, no matter what you're going through, whether it's financial, what's a job situation, what's a marital issue, whatever it is, that you can cast your cares upon him. Because his word reminds us, for he careth for thee. So he does. He careth for thee. Are you casting your cares upon him? Because the word tells us you're to cast them upon him, for he careth for thee. So no matter what you're going through, you know, remember, the scriptures tell us and remind us that the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. And that's for sure. So no matter what you're going through, a neighbor getting on you, doesn't matter. You need to just remember the battle's not yours. So oftentimes I myself forget that. You know, I try to wrestle with things try to help God out, in other words. And, you know, the Lord doesn't need our help. So just remember that the battle is not yours. The scriptures tell us that the battle belongs to him. So you don't. The word reminds us that you need not fight this battle. It's his. So just whatever you're going through, turn it over to him. And then I'd like to put some praise music on today, you know, because the word reminds us, to praise him, you know. He inhabits the praises of his people. Again, not the complaints, you know, grumbling, murmuring. I was reading in the Old Testament this morning, and the Israelites were good at mumbling, quarreling, complaining, griping, you know. And in Exodus, it says here, the Israelites were saying they were quarreling, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Can you imagine that? What the Lord brought them through, and they're saying, "Is the Lord among us or not? You know he is." If I were there, I'd tell those people, you know, love them, but the Lord is with you, and he always will be. You know, he said, "I am the way, the truth, the light. No man goeth to the Father, but it's only through Christ." You know, can you imagine the Israelites saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" You know, that in itself, that you know, it's found in Exodus chapter 17. Verse 7, you can read it. You know, can you imagine them saying, "Is the Lord with us, among us, or not?" You know, after all the Lord's done for them, and they're still quarreling and grumbling. You know, are you praising him? Are you complaining about the bigness and greatness of your problems, or the bigness and greatness of God? Are you letting the Lord fight your battles? Are you trying to fight him and help? Are you trying to fight him? Are you need to surrender that and trust God through him? Whatever you're going through, you need to trust him. I'm going to put on some praise music. I picked out a couple nice songs I really enjoy. One is "How Great Is Our God," and the next one is "Made New." It's a new song I'm playing this morning, and I love praise music. I really do. I just love to worship and praise the Lord and spend some quiet time with him and read the Word, and I need to get better, and I'm trying to. You know, sometimes the world just pulls us in every single direction that and sometimes it's just nice to slow down and say, "Lord, I need to spend some time with you. You know, I need to study the Word more." Because the Word says, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed." And, you know, I'm I'm amazed that when I read the Word again, my wife has read it, I don't know how many times. She goes through the Bible a year. She'll read straight through it. And since we've been married almost 40 years, she's read the Bible. I've never known anyone to read the Bible that many times, you know. But I'm amazed. You know, I had a friend in Hawaii that once has said that his wife is becoming more spiritual than he is. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with that, Daryl. He said, well, I'm going to take her Bible away. I said, you can't do that. He said, she's becoming more spiritual than me. And I said, well, Daryl, just let her have her Bible, you know, catch up with her, you know, study the Word together. But my wife's she's an avid reader. She loves to read. And I, you know, that's a gift. You know, many people have that gift and they just love to read. She loves history. She loves the Word of God. And she's very intelligent, much smarter than myself. You know, I struggle, and I'm trying to. One of the things I'm asking the Lord is, you know, help me, you know, comprehend what I'm reading, and then let me memorize it. Because it's when you're on the radio, there's so many scriptures that you know, I my Bible's, you know, flipping through Exodus, going here, Matthew, you know, and the Old Testament, and sometimes I don't have time to go back and forth. So I'm asking the Lord to help me memorize more scripture so that I can encourage you all. And that's good too. And that's what I want you to do, is develop a praise and worship time in the morning, or afternoon, or in the evening when it's convenient for you. Spend some time with Him in the praise music, in prayer, and also studying the Word of God. And it's so important because He speaks to us through His Word. So that's why it's so very, very important. So I'm going to put on some praise music and enjoy it. You'll love this, How Great Is Our God. And the next one, it's a brand new song I'm playing, Made New. Come on now, let's worship Him this morning. He's faithful. Remember, the battle's not yours. The battle belongs to Jesus. Let's worship the Lord this morning and praise Him. How great is our God? He is great. He's a big God. Is there anything, His Word says, too difficult for Him? There's not. Enjoy the song, How Great Is Our God. fun singing. This song's Made New. We'll be right back. I'm going to play another song, Shout to the Lord. I love this song, and you will too. Let's worship Him this morning.
Lord, there is none like you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, I love praise and worship, and I know that you do too. So don't forget to read the Word each and every day, and make it a point to, you know, write things down and pray for people, you know, because the world's hurting, America's hurting, you know, talk to the Lord, you know, and pray for others, you know, encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13 reminds us to encourage one another daily. Why today is still called a day. It didn't say, you know, encourage one another monthly, weekly, you know, yearly, you know, every other year, you know. It's at every single day, you know, encourage one another. Because, you know, we're all going through some things in this life, and what better way to encourage your brother, not to backbite, be critical, have a critical spirit, but encourage one another. You know, my mother-in-law once told me, she said, you know, if you pick your friends apart, you won't have any friends. And none of us are perfect, you know. None of us are. And that's why it's so very, very important that you and I get that scripture in our heart, not our mind, because if you put it in the head, you won't do it. You know, you might think about it. But if you put it in the heart, you'll make a habit. And let's get in the habit of encouraging one another, not picking on one another. And I'm working on that too, because I don't like a critical spirit. I don't have time to gossip. You know, just don't have time for that, you know. But encouraging one another is so very important, because this one brother I'm trying to encourage, it's difficult. Sometimes, you know, my message this morning is about holding people's arms up and praying for them. Because, you know, if you don't, sometimes people just throw in the towel and they'll give up and quit. And I don't want any of you listening to give up and to quit, you know, no matter what, how bad your circumstances are. You know, is the scriptures remind us and remind you that is there anything too difficult for thee? And you know what? There's absolutely nothing too difficult for thee. So before I get to the word, we're going to be in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17. I want to thank a few people. Mark and Mary, thank you for your generous support and believing in me to be on the radio. I'm not always, the most qualified to be here, and I know that. You know, but the Lord doesn't look for the ability, but what he looks for in a person is availability and that willing heart. And that's what I want you all to start developing, is a willing heart. You know, if the Lord asks you to do something, you know, just do it. Just do it. So I'm here. I'm not the most educated person. I admit my grammar. I'm working on my grammar. I've got my wife helping me once in a while. No, you shouldn't say that. Business partner, he's very articulate in the English, the grammar. Sometimes I miss that, you know, I misspell words, my grammar's not always, the way it should be. So I'm trying the best I can, you know, if you have any gripes or complaints, you know, don't write me a letter, you know, just pray for me, you know, just pray for me. And I do the best I can. And that's all that the Lord requires, that we do the best we can. And we do it with all our strength, mind, and soul for his purpose and for his glory, that his will in your life and mine be done, not yours. So, Mark and Mary, thank you for your generous support. Love you both. And Lisa and Michael, thank you for your support, helping me stay on the radio. And also Thomas, if you're listening, you and your lovely wife, thank you for your support as well. You know, we can't do this journey alone. It wasn't meant for us to do this journey alone. We have other people that come around us, our wives, and that's why it's so important, you know, that because I'm amazed at how many people I get to share with and speak to that they say, well, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God wherever I am. Well, that's true, but, you know, going to church, you know, it says that we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves, because you hear the word of God there, you know, and that's how you grow. You know, it's like putting fertilizer on a plant. You know, you ever look at a plant, you know, just think of this now. You have a plant, and you feed one plant, you know, what it needs. Miracle-Gro is very good because it has urea nitrogen in it, and that's something our soil doesn't have here in Florida, is urea nitrogen. And so you feed that plant, don't feed the other plant, and look which one grows better. And it's the one that you feed. And so we are to read the Word of God. We are to hear the Word of God. And, you know, and I think sometimes that's a, I don't know the right word to use, a cop-out by saying I don't need church, I can minister, you know, God and I can just fellowship together. Well, then, okay, how are you going to hear the word and know the word better? You have a great pastor, and you know, we go to the Calvary in Merritt Island, and Pastor Malcolm, and, you know, when he speaks, you know, I'm like a sponge. You know, I enjoy hearing what the Lord's put on his heart, and he's very articulate in the word, and the insight that he expounds on in the word of God is just literally amazing. And so it's so important that you go to church, that you learn to hear the word of God, and the church people can pray for you. And also you bring your tithe into the storehouse and you give to the church, because, you know, the scriptures tell us, will a man rob God? You know, what do your tithes and offerings? Will a man rob God? And that's not my message this morning, but it's so important that we go to church, because I find that people that don't go to church, they can tend to be, and I don't want you all to think I have a critical spirit. I try not to, but I've noticed that people that don't tend to, I'm not sure. And I pray for them. I pray for the ones that don't go to church, but either you've been hurt and you don't want to go to church, and we've all been hurt. I like what Pastor Malcolm said, that, you know, if someone in the church has hurt you, then there'll be many others in the church that will love on you. And that's the way to look at it. That's a healthy way to look at it, you know. And, you know, by not going to church, I think we can become selfish and self-centered. You know, we don't need God. We don't need a fellowship. We don't want to give our money. They don't need our money. And that's all. It takes a lot of money in ministry, you all. It really does. If you're a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it takes a lot to support a church. And the churches have missionaries they support, and the upkeep to the building, and, you know, and the pastor has to be paid, and he should be, you know. He doesn't have time to go out to work. That's his job, to counsel people, to encourage them, to love on them, to study the word. That's his responsibility. And so by not going, I think it's a cop-out that, you know, and it could be a little bit of laziness, you know, fear of God. I'm not sure what to call it. I really don't. Some of you can help me on this one, because I think it's an excuse to say I don't need him. I can fellowship. And we all need a pastor. We really do. We all need a pastor to teach us the word of God. And it's so very important. And pray. You know, they pray for you. And who's going to pray for you at the house? I mean, your wife. And that's good. And that's well and good. But you have many people that'll pray for you and love on you. And so it's extremely important. So if you don't have a church, you know, Calvary chapels are really good. But ask the Lord where you to go. And he'll tell you. So, but anyway, back to the message. It's found in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. And now I'm going to trouble spelling and pronouncing some of these words, but bear with me. So the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, and this is Aaron and Hur, put a stone and put him on, upon the stone, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and the other on the other side, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of the Amalek. I'm having trouble with that word. Amalek from under heaven. Well, that from under the heavens. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord, and the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. So if we look at this, and forgive me for not pronouncing the one word Amalek from under the heaven. So forgive me for not pronouncing that word correctly, but if you look at this, you look at a story that Moses was doing fine as long as he held his arms up and the staff. He was doing fine. But as soon as he got fatigued, I believe I call it being a veteran, battle fatigued, and his arms grew weak, and he put his arms down, then he was losing the battle. And there was Aaron and Hur that came, and you know, they held his arms up, and he started winning the battle. And so many times, you know, I know this is Old Testament, but I believe it's true today that we need people to, and we have Jesus, you know, but it's also important that we hold other people's arms up and encourage them, pray with them. You don't physically have to do it. You can stand in and love on them, tell them you're praying for them, telling them that, give them a scripture to encourage them. Again, I go back to Hebrews 3:13. We are to encourage one another daily. And I believe that's what Aaron and Hur were doing, because when Moses started to put his arms down, they were losing the battle. And so when they sat him down upon a rock, they held his arms up, he started winning the battle, and he won. And sometimes we need that in our life. We need other people to encourage us. And I know we have the Lord, but the Lord does use people, you know, because we are his hands, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his legs. That, you know, how else is the work of God going to get done on this earth if he can't use us? That's why it's important not to let your heart be hardened. That's why it's so important to go to church, because you'll be around people that love the Lord, that and you can hear the word and grow in the word, and grow in the Lord, rather. And that's so very, very important. Who are you going to have if you just stay home and these trials come upon you? You get a bad report of cancer, or you lost your job. Who's going to pray for you? You go to church, that they'll encourage you. They'll pray with you. Because the word reminds us, the fervent effectual prayer of the righteous availed what? Is it a little? No, it said much. So you go to church to have people pray. You go to church to hear the word. You go to church to worship the Lord. You know, I go to church, and, you know, I just want to hear the word of God. And I love the worship at church. And that's all I go for. I'm not into, you know, going to church to have a title there, to be an elder, deacon. I just don't desire that. I go to church to hear the word of God. I go to church now to hear the word of God and to praise and worship. And if I have that opportunity to encourage people, I try to do it to the best of my ability. And that's so important, because if your arms come down and you get what I call battle fatigued, then you may not fulfill what God's calling you to do. You may miss those divine opportunities of being that blessing that he wants you to be, you know. But being stubborn and saying, I don't need God, I don't need church, I can worship him wherever I go. Well, that's okay. All right. But again, if we go back to the scriptures, it tells us to do not forsake the assembling of yourself. It's so very important. You go to hear the word. You go to praise and worship Jesus. You go to get encouraged. And it's so important to have people around you. And then if you're in a battle, just like Moses was, and he was a mighty man of God, and he had that staff, but his arms came down, he was losing the battle. But Aaron and Hur lifted his arms up, and he started winning. And some of you out there have put your arms down. Some of you need people to come around you, some saints of God and some people, but you've been disappointed and hurt. You know, go back to church. Come on now. Go back to church. There'll be, as Pastor Malcolm says, there'll be many people to love on you. If one person hurts you, trust me, there'll be many that's going to love on you. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ, going to church. To hear the word, to understand the word better, you know. I'm still learning, you know. I've read the Bible several times, and I'm still learning. I even went to Bible college in Hawaii, and I still am discovering things. I thought, I didn't know that was in the word of God. I didn't know that. And so I, too, am learning on the way where I'm going, you know. And you can hear what God, the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. You know, because if you just stay home, how are you going to be a blessing to anyone? You know, how are you going to be a blessing? How are you going to understand the word of God? How are you going to have people pray for you? You know, on and on. I could just go on and on why it's so crucially and very important to go to church, you know, to understand the word of God. And, you know, and it's so important that when you become discouraged, that you could go to someone at the church and say, can you pray for me? And then, you know what? They will. They'll pray for you. And so, it's extremely important. As Moses' hand went down, Aaron and Hur put his arms right back up. And some of you listening, maybe you've dropped your arms a little bit and you need someone to come and encourage you and hold your arms up, because remember, the scriptures tell us the battle's not yours. The battle belongs to Jesus. Moses knew that, that the Lord was in full control of that battle. But when he got battle fatigued, he started losing. And that's really, really important, that we stay in tune with Jesus, that we fall deeper in love with Jesus like never before. That's so important. That I can't emphasize that enough, that we spend more time with him and his and God's people, and they'll encourage you, and you can encourage them, you know. And it's amazing how the body of Christ works. And it was church that the Lord called me into the mission field. I was at the Vanger Tabernacle in Louisville, Kentucky, and that's where Colonel Sanders attended church. And I was up in the balcony. It's still there. The son runs the church now. I was in the balcony and with my sister Teresa, and the pastor was praying, and the Lord put something on his heart, and he said, "Tom, I want you to come down here." And I said, "Well, there's some other Toms in this church." And he said, "No, there's only one Tom Jones I know we have in this church." And it was a good-sized church I attended, and he called my name out again. He said, "Tom, get down here. I need to pray for you. And I thought, okay, my sister kind of nudged me, and I'm in the balcony, and I went down, get to the altar. Colonel Sanders was behind me. Colonel Sanders would always sit on the front row. He had his spot he liked. And so the pastor said, "Tom, you're not where God wants you. The Holy Spirit's telling me that you need to move on." And I looked at him, and he said, "Folks, stretch out your hands. We're going to pray for Tom, because he's not supposed to be here anymore. The Lord's calling him into the mission field." And yes, the Lord was, but I was being very stubborn, very stubborn. And any of you listening, or you ever get stubborn? Because I wanted to go to the mission field, but I wanted my security too. I wanted my military career, but that's not what God wanted. He wanted to release me from my military to go work with Dr. Patrick in the Southeast Asian missions, and we built orphan homes around the world. And that's what he wanted me to do. And the pastor said, I love you, Tom, but you know what God's called you to do, and you need to do it. And I thought, well, that's easy for him to say. You know, my career's ending, and I knew it was ending, and I didn't want it to end. And I thought, my sister went through a divorce, and I had to go to Texas to move her and the little girl home. And I watched my finances disappear. And I thought to myself, well, that's easy for him to say. My career's coming to an end. My sister just went through a divorce, and I had to go move her and the little girl home. I had to get her an apartment, get her furniture, and she went through a bad divorce. And she was starting over again. And I watched my money disappear. And when that pastor said, "Tom, you know that God's calling you to go into the mission field." And I said, you're right, Pastor, he is. And then he asked the church to take up a collection. And wow, I couldn't tell you how much money they gave me. I couldn't tell you. And then my other pastor friend gave me 7 post-dated checks. And he said, "I'll guarantee when you get to the mission field, there'll be a check coming every month." When I was in the mission field, I never lacked. I never lacked. I went to help work with Dr. Patrick and raise support for building orphanages in India. I never lacked, and neither were you. If you hear his heart and do what he tells you to do, and you tithe and you give to the best that you can, the best you can, you'll do things you'll never dreamed of doing for Jesus. And I'm being upfront and honest. And I got in the car, and my career ended. I set a date to go back to Hawaii, went across country, and was trying to figure out how all this was going to work. No security, no medical, trying to figure God out. And the Holy Spirit touched my heart when I got halfway across the country. I believe I was not quite halfway. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Stop figuring God out, because you're going to figure him away." And I thought, "Lord, I'm sorry if I'm figuring you out, but this is all new to me." And get to California, and I went to Matson, and it's a shipping yard company. They put my car in a little box. They stacked it up on the ship, and then I get to L.A. Airport, and I thought, "Lord, I got to go back and get my career back. I got to get my security blanket back." And the Lord said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no." So I get to L.A. Airport in Los Angeles, and I get up to United Airlines counter, and they said, "We're sorry. you know, we overbooked. And I said, great, that is a sign from God that I'm going to go back and get my car off that ship, and I'm going back home and get my security blanket, you know, because I just wanted that security. And the lady said, nope. She said, no. She said, we have overbooked the coach, but she said, we're putting you upstairs. And I said, upstairs? I said, you mean I have to stay with the animals and cargo? And this is just what I was thinking, you know. And she said, what do you mean? I said, you put me up with the animals and the cargo. And I said, well, I get claustrophobic, ma'am. And she said, no, you don't apparently understand what upstairs is. I said, no, I guess I don't. And she said, well, it's 16 seats up there. It's upstairs on the jumbo jet 747. I said, what? So I sat up there and thought, this is sweet. I kind of like it. And so anyway, we took off and was heading to the Hawaiian Islands. And there was a gentleman sitting next to me, and it was only 16 seats again upstairs, and he was going on about his trips, his travels, and very successful, a prominent fellow of society. He was a CEO of a corporation, and he was going on about his climbing the corporate ladder and made it big and was going to Singapore, Hawaii, Singapore, Japan. And then I just said, Lord, you know, please don't let him ask me do what I do for a living, because, you know, Lord, I don't know what I do for a living. And then at that time, you know, after I got done, then he said, sir, young man, what do you do for a living? And I thought to myself, I'm not sure. I thought to myself, I don't know what to tell this prominent fella, a society. I don't know what I do. I really didn't, you know. I thought, I don't have a title. I back then I was really interested in having a title. And, yeah, the Lord doesn't want us to have a title. Make a long story short, the Holy Spirit gave me this to tell him. I said, sir, I have my you've heard me share this before, and I said, sir, I have my BA, my MA, and my PhD. He said, oh, you're quite young to have your degrees. What did you major in? And I said, sir, my BA is I'm born again. My MA is I'm mad at the devil. My PhD, I'm past having doubts. You know, that's the way the Lord wants us to be, you know. We should be born again. We should have, you know, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. You're born again. And you should have your MA degree too, mad at the devil, you know, and you should have your PhD, past having doubts, you know. And if the Lord can take a little scrawny little fella like me and into his career and send me to the mission field, he never ceases to amaze me how he would continually provide all my needs while I was there. I mean, I have an attorney there, and one time I was in Hawaii. There was an attorney that called and says, God told me that you needed some financial help. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, tell me the amount. And I told him, I said, well, if the Lord told you I have a need, he'll be big enough to tell you what the need is. And I didn't say anything to him but that. And about a week or two later, what he sent was exactly what the missions needed, because we were finishing an orphan home. So, you know, God's new every morning, and he's faithful, and we need to be faithful to him. And so I encourage each and every one of you to develop a prayer time. You know, you may not be called to the mission field. You're called to do something. I believe every person that's breathing is called to do something. You know, there's only one Steve Jobs. There was only one Jonah. There was only one Apostle Paul. There's only one Moses, one Noah. But what did they accomplish? Great things for Christ. Look what they accomplished. And what could you accomplish? You know, don't be stubborn. Don't get out of that house. Go to church. Find a good church to get into, a Bible-believing church, and they'll stir you up and encourage you. And I tell you what, I pray you'll never be the same, that you'll do things, great exploits that you had no idea, the gifts that were in you. Sometimes I look at people and I thought, Lord, people can be like a tree. They can go dormant and shed all their leaves and they don't blossom again. You know, bring us out of dormancy, Lord. Let us bloom again. Let us flower again. Let us do what you called us to do, to be that great blessing that you've called us to be. And may we never get the glory. May we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. So remember, you know, my program's about over, just about. Just remember, whatever you do, make sure you give him all the praise, the glory, the honor. Remember, as we just read in Exodus, Moses got battle fatigued. He did. He was just plumb worn out. There was Aaron and Hur that went with him, and they held his arms up. You too need someone to hold your arms up. If you're going through a battle, you know, get around some godly people. Have them pray for you, and they'll encourage you. You know, they will. That's what church is about. loving one another, serving one another, being that blessing to one another that Christ wants us to be, you know? And don't hide your gifts, don't hide your talents. And ask the Lord to bring you out of dormancy, that you can become alive again and take your gifts that he's given you and come alive in Jesus' name. You know, that's my prayer for each and every one of you, that he would stir you up. He would stir you up and wake you up. Remember, the program's called Wake Up. Wake up, Tom. Wake up. All you that are listening, wake up. Are we in the troubled times and dark times? Yes. But don't focus on the darkness. Focus on what Jesus would have you to do. You know, cuddle up with him. Spend some time with him. You know, just pray. Read the word and pray, as the scriptures tell us, without ceasing. And I pray you would come alive again. You would wake up again to hear the voice of God, to hear him. You know, through his word, he can speak to you through his word. He can put something on your heart. And when he does, when you read the word, don't be just a hearer of the word, but he tells us, be what? Be a doer. You know, just don't talk a good talk, but be not just a hearer, but be a doer. And I pray you would just say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm in a battle. I'm trying to fight this battle. Get some people around you that'll, like Aaron and her, to hold your arms up, to pray for you, to support you, to love on you, to encourage you. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. You know, we can't do this journey alone. We think we can just stay home and we don't need church. That's I don't know where that came from. You know, that to me is just being plumb lazy. You know, not to want to commit yourself to hear the word of God and to worship God and to take some of your money that he's blessed you with and take a part of it to church to be that blessing to the church, to the pastor, to the missionaries that they support. It's so very, very crucial that we fellowship. Remember, the word says, forsake not the assembling. Forsake not the assembling. So I want to encourage you to pray without ceasing. I want to encourage you to study the word, as the words, the scriptures tell us this. Study the word. You know, a workman that need not be ashamed. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. It's so important. And to be fired up for Jesus in these days that we live in. Don't be lukewarm, you know, because his word says he'll spit you out. Let's be on fire for him. You know, let's be so on fire for him and so excited for him that what he's called us to do, that we just do it. We don't hesitate, procrastinate. We just do what he tells us to do. And you don't need to go around town shouting, telling people, this is what Jesus called me to do. Because I tell you what, if you start doing that, you start telling what Jesus is going to do with you and through you, you're going to have some dream. You better be prepared to have some dream killers kill your vision and your dream. Because Lord knows I've had a lot of them in my life. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do this. Whether it's starting a business, whether it's going in ministry, whether it's being on the radio, whether it's going to the mission field, you start shouting it out. And I tell you what, you're going to have some demons coming after you. You're going to have some people killing your dream. And you just be, which sometimes what Jesus tells you to do, just be quiet. You know, share it with very few people because they're not going to understand what Jesus, my family didn't understand it. They thought I was foolish giving a career up going to Hawaii to work with a doctor. They said, who? You can't do that, you know? And, you know, don't listen to that, you know? Don't listen to people tell you, you can't do it. If God's put something in your heart, if God puts a stirring in your heart to do something, I don't know what he's calling you to do, but you know it. You know what he's called you to do. If that's to start a Bible group, a prayer group, or if that's to start a business, if that's to become a pastor, if that's to become a missionary, if that's become a banker, if that's you want to go into politics, you just do it. Just do it. Do what he puts on your heart. Because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? There's only one Jonah. There's only one Moses. There's only one Noah. And there's only one of you. So if you don't do it, will it ever get done? I don't know about that. I don't know. You know, there wasn't another Tom the Third to go to Hawaii. There's only one Tom. And I was honored to go. I was scared to go, but I went. And don't be scared. If Jesus is calling you to do something, you hold fast and you hold tight on what he's called you to do. And again, just do it. Just do it. And I'm encouraging you all. I'm encouraging the church to wake up. I'm encouraging each and every one of you to wake up. And I want you to get so excited and so on fire for Jesus that I pray today you'll never be the same. that you fall deep, that you fall deeper in love with him like never before, you know, that you get stirred up and you just ask the Lord, Lord, just fire me up for you, that your will in my life be done. Not my will, but your will. So, Father God, I pray for the listeners, those that are listening, that I didn't just, you know, I came, you know, I'm Tom. And although my grammar is not always good, though I'm not the most educated to be on the radio, I come humbly before you and your people to say I've tried. I'm, as your word says, run the race with confidence, the race that's set before us. Father God, I pray for those that are listening, that they would continue to run this race with confidence. Father God, the race that's set before them, Father God, that they would not put their arms down, and if they're battle fatigued, Father God, that they would continue to look to you. As your word says, perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Lord, if anyone's listening and they want to start a ministry, or they want to become a school teacher, a governor, a senator, they want to become a mechanic, whatever they want to do, Father God, I pray that they would run with their vision. Because your word says, without a vision, my people perish. Don't let us perish, Father. Let us have that vision. And that only you can give us, that we would continue to run this race with confidence, the race that's set before us. Let us encourage, Father God, let us encourage one another, to the left, to the right, in front of us. Father God, give us a spirit of encouraging one another. Father God, just bring us out of dormancy, you know, bring us out of dormancy, Father God. Let us come alive for you. And Father God, I pray for the peace of Israel, that no weapon formed against Israel, Father God, should ever prosper. The apple of your eye, I pray a hedge of protection for Israel, Father God, that again, I pray confusion in any camp that wants to ever come against Israel. We bless your people in Jesus' name. Father, those that are listening, Father God, comfort them, Father God, and what they're going through. If they're battle fatigued, if they have a vision, Father God, I pray that they would not just keep dreaming that dream, that they would say, they would go live that dream. They would go live it, Father God, not just keep dreaming and dreaming and dreaming. I pray their dreams would become reality, that you be with them, that you guide them, that you strengthen them, Father God, that they could be the people that you're calling them to be. And by, me too, Father God. If I've missed it, help me get back on track again, Father God. If anyone's been off track, Father God, help us get back on track. And Father God, I pray that those that are home thinking, I don't need to go to church, I can worship God in my house. Father God, I pray you would burn in their hearts that they need a fellowship and not forsake the assembling of themselves. Father God, you would fire them up to get motivated to get out of that house and get into a good church, a good Bible-believing church, to hear the word, to understand the word, and Father God, to worship you. And I thank you for this day. Thank you for, I'm humbled to be on. Thank you for helping me figure out the new name to the little ministry here that you've given me. But Father, I give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. I thank you, Father God. Well, my time's just about up. I really pray you enjoyed it. And I ask this, all this in Jesus' name, Father God, that they would, you would fire your people up. May we never be the same, Father God, from this day forth. Until next week, God richly bless you. And I pray the very best is yet to come.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.